Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or just about anywhere you would download your podcast. You'll be able to find America Out Loud, or as always, head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com, where you'll find countless hours of podcast and tons of great articles from great conservative writers. Some of the leading conservative voices are over at AmericaOutLoud.com. So you guys definitely want to check that out. You can get the full archive of shows, not just from us, but from the entire network. There's shows on all day on America Out Loud, so it's constantly being updated with new shows. So you guys definitely want to stay in tune with that and check out all the shows that you can. And we really appreciate it when you share those on social media. You know, Rob, what I want to talk about tonight is that police officers in America and how they are being treated in 2022. Remember the riots of 2020, and the morale for police officers was perhaps never any lower. The treatment they got was out of hand after the George Floyd case in Minnesota, the Breonna Taylor case in Kentucky, and just about anything that would happen between a police officer and a Black citizen would result in a huge blow up for some time there. And police officers were really at a lot of risk going to work. Well, we also seen around that time, Officer Kim Potter accidentally fire a gun when she meant to use her taser and kill Dante Wright. And that case finally went to trial last year, and the sentencing was just recently. Kim Potter ended up getting 16 months in prison, 8 months of some kind of probation after that. So it comes up to about 2 years. I believe she had about 58 days of time served, which will cut out of her prison time. But to me, this sentence was still a little bit harsh, because if you watch a lot of the case, you'll see that Kim Potter was very sympathetic throughout the case. She's already lost her pension as a police officer. She's lost so much. And you look at the landscape of her job, she had to make a split second decision. And of course, she made a mistake, which could happen to just about anyone, you would presume. But Kim Potter has got to do 16 months in prison. When most of us mess up at work, we get in trouble or we'll get fired, but we do not have to do prison time like Kim Potter has to do here. And I think it's a little sad. The judge in that case, the Asian woman, Debbie, she was very sympathetic towards Kim Potter, it seemed. But when you watch the sentencing hearing, she laid out all the facts of why it seemed like Kim Potter should not go to prison, why she was a perfect candidate just to get some kind of probation at home. But it seemed like she wanted to appease everyone. She wanted to try and make everyone happy. She didn't want to over-sentence Kim Potter because she knew that she didn't deserve it. Quite frankly, I think she knows that Kim Potter only deserved probation. But nonetheless, she gave her 16 months in prison because Dante Wright's family and the woke mob would have been absolutely outraged if Kim Potter did not get any prison time. And I just think it is really sad what we're seeing from a lot of these judges who are so influenced from what they see in the media and on television. This is not the job of judges to be worried about what the reaction of their verdicts is going to be. It's to give a fair and just verdict. But it seems like more and more in this country, we're seeing a lot of activist judges, and it is not good for police officers. Rob, what is your take on what happened with Kim Potter and police officers in their current working environment in the United States?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight to After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And as you said, Andrew, please share the broadcast, share the podcast with your friends, people who aren't your friends. Just go and share it as much as you can, because as you know, they're definitely trying to silence our voices. And we rely on you to share America Out Loud and After Dark with Andrew so that our voices can be heard. Now, you so eloquently explained to our listeners as to what happened in the Kim Potter case. I didn't hear or see the verdict last week. I wanted to. You were giving me a play-by-play. And tonight we have an opportunity to dissect it as we always do and to talk about it. But one of the things that you said that I definitely want to address is the judge and her, what she was saying when she was giving the sentence to Kim Potter. I think that judges, unfortunately, they're under a lot of pressure to get it right. They're under a lot of pressure from the left, not from the right. We're the right conservatives, they aren't going out protesting and threatening and doxing these judges. We're not going out and making their lives difficult. This is all coming from the left. And let's just call it the way it is. And I said this on the previous two night shows. We've got to just start speaking truth to power and calling it out, not worried about whose feelings that we're hurting, because maybe if their feelings are hurt enough, they'll wake up and realize that what they're doing is very damaging to the country. That being said, we have a lot of judges who are activist judges. A lot of these judges have been appointed by Democrats, from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama. And even some of these judges were appointed by Republicans, George Bush Sr. and Jr. And they have become a part of the woke crowd. And they feel that it is your duty to try to even the playing field or to set the record straight, whatever that record is, I don't know. Because if you're following the law, the record itself will be set straight. So we have Judge Debbie Horn, who, as you said, she, in her summation, was saying that prison is not for, this punishment is not for a person who is repentant. It's for those individuals who don't seem to be repentant and could possibly do this again, commit the crime again, or whatever they had done, or they've been found guilty of. I had mixed feelings about this case. I felt that Kim Potter did her job. She made a mistake. My mixed feelings came into, should she be punished? Yes, she should be punished. And I think she was punished enough with all the agony and the frustration she went through. Her family had to move because the left, once again, were harassing her, threatening her. No one talks about that. A lot of people on the left looks at it and they feel that it's okay. Look at what she did. She took a life. She took someone's son. Well, that someone's son, that son was a bad guy. He was a bad person. He beat up his girlfriend. And there was an arrest warrant for him. All he had to do was to get in that car. But when he got in the car, when they told him to step out and don't move, that's what he should have done. But he wanted to be Superman. He felt that, oh, no, they're stopping me, a black man. And as I said, the guy's mixed. I couldn't tell if he was Mexican, if he was a white guy or what. But all he had to do was just stop and listen. But he felt that, no, I don't have to do that. I'm in Minnesota. This is where George Floyd was killed. I don't have to do, I can just take off in my car, which is what he did. And it's unfortunate that during that situation, Kim confused her laser, her taser rather, her gun with her taser, and she shot him. And when she did it, she immediately said, oh my God. And she fell down on the ground and started sobbing and saying, I am going to go to prison. Her saying that is not an indication that she felt that she was guilty. It was a reality that she saw considering what has been going on in the country. Now, had she said, oh my God, they're going to kill me, what would people have thought? Oh yeah, that's right, we're going to kill you. And lo and behold, that's what they tried to do with the threatening phone calls. This woman had to move her family. Her husband had been on the police force. Her son is serving in the army, in the military. She made a mistake. It was a costly mistake. Someone lost his life. Someone who gambled with his own life. The same way George Floyd gambled with his life. The same way Michael Brown gambled with his life. The same way Eric Garner gambled with his life. The same way Sandra Bland gambled with her life. And the list goes on and on and on. We have to be honest and speak truth to power. There are too many cases whereby individuals are playing Russian roulette with their lives. That is not to vindicate Derek Chauvin, because I felt that he should have removed his knee from the neck of George Floyd, the same way many on the left, white liberals and black liberals, should remove their knee from the neck of black people so that they can prosper and they can go forth and be productive citizens in the society, as opposed to being told that they're victims, all the while you have the knee of these woke individuals on their neck. It's most unfortunate. And it is very unfortunate that they cannot see through this, that the same individuals that are oppressing them have the knee on their neck and telling them, we've got to make this better. Well, how are you going to make it better? By making these people think that they're above the law, like Dante Wright, so that they can go out and commit crimes. Look at the crimes in our largest cities that are governed by Democrats, Democrat policies. You look at New York City every day, just about someone is being killed, attacked. We heard about the homeless man who went inside of an Asian woman's apartment and stabbed her. And we're not supposed to say what's happening here. And the problem that I have with all this, Andrew, and I'm going to get back to these judges, is that when you see this happening on the news, day in and day out, these attacks, and who's committing the offenses, as we said in the previous show, last night's show, I think it was, that the offenders are Black men. My fear is that if I am walking on the street, a Black man, that I will be accused of doing something that I didn't do by virtue that my skin is Black and they don't know if I'm doing something wrong or not. And can you blame them? Though some would say, oh, that's racial profiling. Well, my God, look at the people that are in the news. And why are they there? Why are they committing the crimes? Because our justice system has let them down. Our justice system has let me down. And now you have put my life at risk. My life is at risk because now I will be perceived as being a culprit. And it's not because, well, they're just thinking they're all that way. Well, if the ones that they see are doing that, why wouldn't they think that? I don't want to be stopped. I don't want them to confuse me with the Black man who's doing wrong. But the moment you defund the police and the people that are coming out of the woodworks are Black men committing crime, what are you supposed to think?
Yeah, well said, Rob. And something that I think is worth bringing up is all these incidents we have with police officers, unfortunately, killing Black citizens are, in none of the situations do we see where the Black people are not committing a crime. It's always in response to something that they have done, a crime that they have committed when the police officers kill them. It's never someone that's just a law-abiding citizen that's randomly attacked and shot by a police officer. And I think that the community needs that reinforced. There's been so much damage with the relationship between police officers and the community throughout 2020 and whatnot. I think it needs to start at the school level and get these kids to respect police officers once again. I know when I was a kid, we had like the DARE program, which was great and instilled a lot of respect for police officers. We'd have a police officer come into the classroom and talk to us for an hour or so. I think a lot of things like that need to be done once again to try and get some trust back into the community with the police officers, because they have taken a lot of hits from the media these past few years.
Definitely a lot of hits from the media these last couple of years and even now. But as I was saying, you know, my life now is at risk because I will be perceived as being someone who is not obeying the law, not by my doing, but by the policies of the left that have said we want to go light on crime, so that when a crime is committed, if I am walking on the streets, doesn't matter what I have on, I will be perceived as being the bad person. Now, some would say, oh, well, you had a hoodie on. Why can't I wear a hoodie? Well, a lot of these thugs that are being caught had on hoodies. They're making it a weapon. So if you think about this holistically as to what's happening, we see how this starts. We see how people start to think that this group is bad, that group isn't bad. And Biden's administration isn't doing anything. They're not doing anything but making it seem as if though Black men are bad because they have become lax on the policies And the moment they defund it, look at the people that are at the forefront committing the crimes. We cannot get away from it. Now, I know some of you will say, yeah, but white people commit crimes also. And you are so right. They do commit crimes and they are arrested. But when you make up 13% of the population, as I said on our previous shows, and of that 13%, your black men are out committing crimes. What are people supposed to think? Just by nature, you're going to think, oh my God, they're going to do something to me. The same way you want to assume that all white people are racist. You see what I did there? We want to assume the people on the left want to assume that all white people are racist. Okay, well, if you want to assume that, then they're going to assume that all black men are thugs. They're thieves. They're going to kill us because of the images that they see on TV. It worked both ways. And we have got to get a handle on this. And who are the people that are pushing these lies? Left-wing Democrats, liberals. I'm reading a book right now by an author, and it said, "Thanks, but don't help me." And it's a powerful book. And when I'm done reading it, I will share it with you guys. Andrew, you're about to say?
Oh, I just mentioned Joy Reid when you were
Joy Reid. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we're going to cover her also because some of the misdeeds that she's done. But going back to the story that you were what you were sharing with us about Judge Debbie Horn and Kim Potter, and I was talking about the activist judges, because it all comes into play. It all ties in because you have these activist judges that are not willing to uphold the law because they are so afraid that they will be protested or someone will come after their family. And again, the people that are usually coming after them is not people on the right, it's people on the left. That's not to say people on the right won't do it. But the people on the left, the Democrats, the woke liberals have become emboldened with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, that they will protest. Well, they were protesting Debbie Horn before the trial even started, Andrew. Remember the gentleman that went to her apartment and saying, "Don't think that we're not watching you, because we're watching you." Was he arrested? Absolutely not. He got mad because she wouldn't let cameras in the courtroom. Got mad and decided that we're going to go after her. So I can only imagine. I mean, she's supposed to be protected by the law, but I'm sure that her decision was based upon what these guys might do or say. Now, some of you would say, "Oh, no, that's impossible." Well, okay, let's look just recently at Sarah Palin. Look at the judge in that case, a liberal judge appointed by, I think it was Bill Clinton. What did he do? Well, he decided that before the jury heard, was while they were deliberating the case between Sarah Palin and the New York Times. And we discussed this previously with the journalist from the New York Post, Heather Robinson. And we were saying how it should be hard for someone to sue a newspaper, you have to prove malice and that you're actually going out to cause harm, a public figure, that is, because we know that the journalists are supposed to be out there to report the news, but nowadays they're not doing that. They're doing everything but that. They become little activists, just like the judges. But back to the story. So the judge in Sarah Palin's case, and I've got to look up the judge's name, he decided that during jury deliberation, that he was going to dismiss the case. Now, from what I'm hearing from legal experts that were watching this case, Sarah Palin's attorney put on a rather convincing case, a very compelling case as to what happened. And not only that, but the New York Times editor that allowed this piece to go out there saying that Sarah Palin was responsible for the shootings, I think, of a congresswoman in Arizona, admitted that they were sloppy with their editing. So when this case got to the jury, everyone was thinking, wait a minute, she could possibly win this. And I guess the judge, still haven't thought of his name, felt that, oh yeah, she could win this. And what did he do? He said, "I'm going to dismiss the case. I'm going to allow the jury to keep deliberating, but I am going to dismiss the case and they can take this up on appeal." Now, the jury was not sequestered, meaning that they were free to leave the court and go home. They probably heard him say this because it was reported in the papers. And I'm more than certain that the liberal media wanted this to be reported in the papers because they knew that the jurors would be listening. So like clockwork, I think they were out for all of 8 days. they came back and said, oh, okay, not guilty. We're not going to find the New York Times guilty. Can you believe it? Once the judge made his comments, they were in deliberation for 8 days. They came out and said, not guilty. No, you would think the judge would say, oops, I should have probably kept that to myself. And why didn't he? He didn't have to go out and say that. He could have waited until the jury came back with their verdict. And if they said guilty, he could have said, I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to set aside, which is what they usually say, I'm going to set aside the verdict. And I am going to throw this out. And if she wants to appeal, she can, because I don't feel that she met the requirements to say that the New York Times was malice in their reporting. But he didn't do that. While they were deliberating, he decided to render his verdict. Now tell me that did not impact their decision. It did. Now, going back to Judge Debbie Horn, if Debbie Horn felt that what Kim Potter was going through and that she was repentant, and had suffered enough, she should have said, okay, I know according to the guidelines, I have to sentence her, because I think the prosecutors were even saying, well, she should get 15 years according to the guidelines, but they wanted to reduce it to 7. I guess they knew that the judge was looking at this and saying, you know, this woman just made a mistake. We can't take away her life. She's already suffered enough. So I guess they wanted to throw the judge a doggy bone and say, okay, judge, we would be okay with 7 years. And when this happened, I want our audience to know, or listeners to know, that the prosecutors would go to the family and talk to the family and say, look, she was found guilty. We know that the judge is probably struggling with this because this woman's record is stellar. So why don't we know that we want her to get 15, but why don't we say 7 years? And the judge would probably agree with that. And the family probably said, okay, we want 15. My son is gone, but we'll take 7. So when they put that to the judge and said 7, the judge listened. And then she came out and gave her own rendition, as Andrew said, as to what happened. And then she decided that, okay, 16 months. And of the 16 months, the time that she's already served, we'll give her credit for that. And then once she's out, she has to go on. Is it like 4 months probation, Andrew?
8 months and even 2 years of sentencing altogether.
Okay, 2 years. Okay. So she looked at that and said, this is what I'm going to say. Now, of course, a lot of folks on the left are mad. They protested that night. Thank God they didn't burn anything down, but they did protest because they wanted her to get more than that. I understand it. I see where they're coming from. But I also understand and see that Dante Wright gambled with his life, as well as so many other of these defendants that we're talking about. You gamble with your life and you lost. All he had to do was to listen, stop, and listen, because that was a heightened moment. And when this woman, Kim, was talking about it, she was crying, she was sobbing, and people were like, oh, she's crying crocodile tears. But had it been someone else, it would have been okay with it. This is, it's horrible. It's a horrible situation for either of these parties. I mean, this woman, Kim, has a son, and she herself probably feels the anguish of this woman. But this was Dante Wright's fault. I'm sorry. Now, some would say, well, don't blame the victim. Well, who else do we blame, Andrew? I mean, we're going to get into this more in the second half of our show.
Yeah, we absolutely are. And all good points. This judge in the Kim Potter case, in my opinion, she really wanted to just give Kim Potter probation, but she did not have the bravery to stand up to the results of what would have happened if that's what she would have done. As we know, the leftist mob, you think they're mad now. If Kim Potter would have just gotten probation, they would have been really upset And it would have been pandemonium, you would think, after that. You guys are tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We're here live on America Out Loud's iHeartRadio channel, Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 on the West Coast. So make sure you be sure to check us out and all the other shows. America Out Loud is streaming 24/7 on iHeartRadio. So you guys want to be sure to subscribe to the America Out Loud iHeartRadio channel. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As Americans, we seek to form a more perfect union. To paraphrase Abraham Lincoln, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And God willing, we shall not perish from the earth. AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/OUTLOUD.
We're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And tonight's show, we're just looking at current events and talking about activist judges that we see that are out there that are pretty much changing the lay of the land when it comes to justice being served. And we were talking about the Kim Potter case in Minnesota and how the judge gave her 16 months in prison. And many on the left, especially Black Lives Matter, they don't like it. They felt that she should have gotten a longer sentencing. And I think that, in my opinion, I think that 16 months is too much. She was doing her job. She made a mistake. It's unfortunate. But Dante Wright has some responsibility to this also. And I know that some of you are saying, don't victim shame the victim. Well, he's dead now. And this should, you would think that his death would be a wake-up call to all the others that are out there thinking about doing the exact same thing. But it won't. It will keep happening and happening. And cities will keep paying out large sums of money. And for what? Trust me, if I were there, I would say they get absolutely nothing. Or I might say, okay, what was the cost of the funeral? We'll pay for that. Give them a couple of hundred. And that's it. be gone with you. Now, you might say, oh, you're mean, you're cruel. No, I'm not meaning cruel. I'm being realistic, because you have to send out a message to these individuals that it's time to straighten up or ship out. And as Madeline Brom said on our show, whose son was killed by four thugs. Okay, four thugs. What was it, four? No, I think it was five. Five thugs. And her son was an Army veteran, Sergeant Correa, dead because of lax laws. This has to stop. It just has to stop. But speaking about these activist judges, let me finish up with Sarah Palin. The judge in that case was Jed Rakoff, another liberal speaking out, poisoning the jury. Now, had this been anyone else, had this been a case that involved a conservative, a case that involved Trump, the left would be talking about it nonstop, saying that it's not fair, calling bloody murder. But because it's Sarah Palin, they don't like her. As journalist Heather Robinson said when she was on our show last week, they're okay with it. So she will probably appeal. She might have a difficult time for the simple fact that, she's a public figure and they can say whatever they want to say about her. It's unreal. Unreal. Justice should be applied equally. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. I think there was a rapper who made the comment about Kim Potter. The rapper had committed fraud. And I think she got probably 3 months and 3 years in jail or something. So she made the comment once she found out about Kim Potter. She said, oh, my God, she's a murderer. And she got less time than I got. And I committed fraud. Well, yep, you got fraud. And you went to jail. And if you don't like the way the sentencing is going, then you should talk to your local Democrat politician, because it's probably thanks to them that those crazy laws are on the book. Let's just be honest. Let's just call it out for where it is. A lot of the crazy laws that we have in these large states, they're Democrats. They came up with the policies. Because if you recall, when Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott, a Republican in Congress, tried to work with the Democrats on our justice system, making certain that the laws were fair, Kamala Harris and Cory Booker decided, we don't want to work with him. No, we're not going to work with him. Why should we? Well, for one, you should work with him to show that Black people can work together. And he's trying to change the way the laws are perceived as being unfair to Black people. But no, they didn't want to work with them. So those draconian laws that the Democrats created, going back to Barack Obama, the first Black president, one of the worst presidents ever, who under his stewardship, Blacks lost so much ground, high unemployment, they lost home ownership, lost a footing in the job market, education went down. But he was the first Black president. We got to remember that. And he also had two Black attorney generals. They did absolutely nothing for changing the laws. Okay, we got to remember that. We can't dismiss that. It has to be part of who he is. But yet and still, we still want to cry and, oh, the justice system isn't fair and we've got to do more because it's not fair to Black people. And you had an opportunity to do it. I mean, we've been having this conversation for how long? Like almost 40 years. And you would think that when the first Black president with two Black attorney generals took office, things would have changed. You would think now with President Biden and a minority mixed race vice president that things would change. But it won't. You know why it won't change? Because certain people like being oppressed. They enjoy it. They raise money off of it. They get people's attention off of it. They pay attention. When Barack Obama was voted for president twice, Black people knew that he hadn't done anything. They were looking at the numbers. They knew that Black employment was still high, at an all-time high, but yet and still they voted for him with hope that it would change. And it never changed. After those 8 years that he had, President Trump came in and he changed it. He looked at the unemployment numbers and said, no, we've got to do something about this. And he spoke to his friends and he spoke to corporate America. And that's when the numbers went down. Now, I know a lot on the left, liberal media will say, well, this was in the works under Barack Obama. Now, had the numbers not gone down, would that also have been in the works with Barack Obama? Because if you remember, as soon as Trump took office, the market started to crash. And what did they say? Oh, this is Trump's fault. We knew it was going to happen. We knew the markets were going to crash and it's not going to come back and we're going to be in a Great Depression and we're going to this and we're going to that. And it did not happen. We had four glorious years of a fantastic economy. Even when COVID hit, a fantastic economy. But the economy tanked the moment Biden took office, because when he took office, he tried to keep us locked down and shut down. supply chain problem, inflation at an all-time high. And they called in Andrew, oh, it's just transitory. And don't worry about it, it's just transitory. Only for the guy over the Fed is to come out and say, please stop saying that it's transitory because it's not. Sumner, who was in Biden's, Obama's White House, even came out and said the same thing. This is not transitory. This is inflation. But the media, no, we're not going to report on that. We're going to keep telling the people that it's okay. And that all that money that Biden gave them, they have all that money they can spend. And it's okay to pay $5 for gas. And it's okay to pay $5 for a gallon of milk and, you know, $6 for a carton of eggs. Really, that's not okay. It's never okay. But yet and still, this is where we are. Inflation, a rotten economy. And last but not least, we have a justice system that has become activist as opposed to just applying the law. And it's just not just this case, these two cases here, Andrew. You look at all the cases whereby Trump, these judges are deciding against him. We spoke about this in a previous show. And they're saying, okay, we're going to give them the okay to sue. They can sue. This person can sue. That person can sue. They're saying this because they know that in those courts, when they do get a jury, more than likely those juries will be liberals and they'll probably decide against Trump. And in those instances, you won't have a judge that's going to set aside the jury verdict. They're going to say, let it stand. The recent case whereby the judge said, well, Trump, they can sue Trump for Jan 6th. Although the FBI has said Trump had nothing to do with it. He had nothing at all to do with it. You got the Democrats still saying, oh, no, Trump has something to do with it. It's just like another Russia collusion because they're trying to stop him. They're afraid that he might run again. And who knows? He's probably looking at this and saying, I don't want to run in 2024. I'll be too old, but I'll still be over the party. But for them, oh, no, we've got to go full throttle. So the judge, who is an Obama appointee, Judge Mehta, has decided that, okay, they can sue him. And they can say that he caused January 6th. Activist judges. And it's sad. And then you wonder why Blacks say that the justice system isn't fair. Well, you look at what's happening now. The judge can't set aside their political disagreements. They're letting that come into sway when it's time for them to render a decision. So they want to bog the courts down with more Trump stuff. From 2016 until now, he has not been found guilty. There are more people that have been charged in the FBI for doing things that they should not have done than people charging the Trump administration for misdeeds. Look it up for yourself. But they won't tell us this. They'll make it seem as if though he did something that he shouldn't have done. And it's really sad, Andrew. It's really sad, you know, that the society has come to this simply because of their hate for one man. The country will be destroyed by putting in people into positions, into office that are completely incompetent and should not be there. Joe Biden should not be in office. He's completely incompetent. As I said on the previous show, that is not a speech impediment problem. It is called senility. It is called Alzheimer's. It's called dementia. It's called old age, but it is not, it should not be referred to as a speech impediment problem. Jake Tapper of CNN. It should not be. Lawrence O'Donnell of MSNBC. It is not a speech impediment problem. Joe Scarborough of MSNBC. It is not. Stop lying. And people stop believing them because it is not a speech impediment problem. It is senility, plain and simple. And if it wasn't senility, why doesn't he just have a checkup, have a physical? All presidents do. Why hasn't he had one? He's in the second year of his residency. Why hasn't he had a checkup? So that the American people will know if our resident is healthy. No one is pushing it. They're making it seem as if though he's the smartest man out there. And we all know that he isn't. He's not firing on all cylinders. It's an abomination and it's embarrassing that people are so full of hate that they would lie. And the American people should be pushing back. I don't care if you don't like Republicans or conservatives or Trump, but to support this crazy man, this madman who's going to destroy our country, destroy our children's future. Well, some of you don't care about our children's future anyway, because you want them masked up. The garbage that you're telling them to hate this person. And this person is a racist, and this person is a racist. We should want our kids to grow up in a society that doesn't have any of that in it. And they don't have it, but we're feeding them garbage. This is the indoctrination, Andrew, and it has to stop, but no one cares. And you know, when you start talking about it, people want to immediately call you a racist and, you know, shut you down. Andrew, they're doing the same thing in Canada to the truckers. They're saying that they're racist. Canada is where the Underground Railroad led to. A lot of Blacks fled to Canada. How did these people become racist and white supremacist?
It's just all very ridiculous. We know Canada is not a racist country. We know America is not a racist country. We do know it exists in some countries, and it exists here in certain instances, but it's not a widely blown problem, except what the media makes it. But here you have countries like China who are going after the Uyghurs and people of other races, and the media is silent about it, but they like to pretend their problems are here in America, which is just completely ridiculous, as you were saying. And you just got to hope it stops at some point. The Democrats and the media were so desperate to do anything they could to try and make President Trump look bad. They tried to tell the country that President Trump was a racist. Anyone who supported President Trump was a racist. And that term is so overused and overblown, it's lost a lot of its meaning. But people still listen to the media and they listen to that being said. And it just sowed an even bigger divide, all this propaganda the media has been saying about President Trump and his supporters for the past 6 years now.
It is. I mean, you look at the propaganda that they put out there, and you look at the guy just recently, Quintez Brown, who is a Black Lives Matter acolyte, 21 years old, I think. And when he was a teenager, he appeared on the Joy Reid show. You know, Joy Reid, the she considers herself the ultra black face of MSNBC. And she had him on the show, and they were talking about gun violence. And as always, she's propping this kid up and saying, oh, the children shall lead us. And she was all smiles that he was talking about, we need to put away guns, and it's killing my generation, and it's doing this. And he's just a smart man, and he's going to one day come out, and he's going to do all these great things. And speaking of smart man, where is that guy who claimed that he, when they had the shooting in Florida, I can't think of the kid's name, but I'm sure he's going to appear on
David Hogg.
Oh, Mr. Hogg. Before long, he will be on CNN. He tried to run for Congress, I think, at one point. But this guy, Quintez Brown, reminds me of David Hogg. And I'm sure before, if CNN doesn't fall flat on his face, and I hope that they do, he will appear there one day pontificating a bunch of garbage. But I hope that John Malone saves CNN before that happens. But back to Quintez Brown, 21 years old, black guy, Black Lives Matter, tried to murder a Jewish candidate for mayor in Louisville, Kentucky. I will say it again. Quintez Brown, 21 years old, a black man, an activist for Black Lives Matter, tried to shoot and kill, to murder Craig Greenberg, a candidate for mayor of Louisville, Kentucky. Quintez Brown was arrested and was released after bail was put up by Black Lives Matter. I am being told he will more than likely be represented by a Clinton campaign acolyte lawyer. Now, tell me there's not collusion going on. This man tried to kill a Jewish man. I will say it again. He tried to kill a Jewish man. Jewish. A group of people that Whoopi Goldberg said that it's not a race. She said that they're all white. A Jewish man, a black man tried to kill him. He is now out walking the streets. He could do it again. Before long, he will probably appear on Joy Reid as a guest, pontificating about taking away your guns, but he managed to get a gun. Remember Kyle Rittenhouse? They didn't want him to have a gun. He could not raise money for his defense because they said he was a white supremacist when he was trying to defend his life. Thank God he got off. But when he was in jail, he could not raise money on GoFundMe. But yet and still, Quintez Brown could. And he shot at a man. Unbelievable. He tried to murder a man who was not trying to kill him. Whereas Kyle Rittenhouse, they were trying to kill him. Quiet as is kept. No one says anything about it. It's okay. And then you want to tell me that's equal and fair justice? You want to tell me we should look the other way? And then when you do have some radical nutcase out there who kills a black man, you want to say, oh, that's not fair. That's wrong. What are they doing? Well, what was Quintez Brown doing? Look at the atmosphere, will you, that the Democrats are creating. Look at it. What do you see? What do you see? You see that there's discrimination. There's discrimination. And no one is saying anything about it. It's okay. But they're creating the seeds of discord in our society. They're creating the seeds of hate. This is where all this comes from, that you want to allow one group to act out, then the other group, they can't. This is what's happening to our society. You look at the truckers in Canada. I'm hearing that they're going to try to come to the States during President Biden's State of the Union address. They'll try to shut that down because they say that's white supremacy. Never mind you that there are blacks. in that group, Hispanics, Asians, but they're still white supremacists. So we're going to shut them down. But Black Lives Matter, they can go out, they can protest, they can scare people, they can harm people, they can get judges to change their minds about verdicts, they can harass jurors. That's okay. But I thought Black people said that happened to them in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, and it shouldn't happen again. So now you want to make it happen, and you want to say that it's okay because we're doing it to white people? Well, what happens when people finally wake up and say, this is a bunch of BS. We're going to cut this out right now. Then what happens? What happens then? It's a vicious circle that the left is creating. It is a vicious circle. Yes, there are some Republicans who claim to be woke, like Liz Cheney, Mitt Romney, that are okay with all this craziness. Now, I think that one of the reasons why Mitt Romney's okay with it, because, and don't take this the wrong way, one of his sons adopted a Black child. So I guess they feel as if they're Black and they can identify with all the Black pain. I have a problem with that. If you're only adopting a Black kid just to prove a point that I can raise this Black kid, that's, I got a problem, because you're not doing it out of love. You're doing it to prove a point. Justice, what is her name? The female who just became a justice, Amy Coney Barrett. She has a Black daughter that she adopted. Now, I don't know what's in her heart, but from listening to her talk, it sounds as if though she falls into that category of individuals who wasn't adopting the child just to have a child. She specifically wanted a Black child so that she could say, okay, all the wrongs that people have done, I'm going to show them that I can adopt this Black child and we can just show the kid love and care. No, I think there's a little bit more than that, because when you're going to tell me, you're going to stand there during your confirmation hearing and say, well, when the George Floyd situation took place, I was like, what am I going to tell my Black daughter? Well, you're going to tell her he wasn't obeying the law. And what happened to him is unfortunate. But when you don't obey the law, mistakes happen. Again, I don't know her heart, but I do question her adopting a Black child. You should be able to adopt whomever you want to adopt. I don't care. But when you're not doing it for the right purpose, I've got a problem with it, plain and simple. So all these people that are out there, and I say this, I'm going to tie this in. I say that because you have a lot of people that are out there saying, well, we got to make this right. And the way we make it right is by looking the other way. And I give people a little room to act out, as they said in Baltimore that time. Well, just let the Black people just act out because they're mad. David Dinkins said the same thing when he was mayor of New York some years ago. I wasn't here at the time, but apparently when they had the Crown House riots over a Jewish man running over a Black guy, and they started tearing up their neighborhood, he said, oh, just give them a little space. You know, they'll be okay. No, you don't give people a little space to be okay. You obey the law or you go to jail. Plain and simple. You can't have, again, these two forms of justice we can't have. And that's what these judges are doing. I guess, Andrew, that they're terrified. They are afraid that if they really apply the law, Black Lives Matter and Antifa will come after them. And you cannot run a justice system that way out of fear. You have to say, hey, whatever happens, happens, but I have got to apply the law. Because when you don't do it, people will feel as though they have been mistreated or they have been shortchanged. And again, Black people have always felt that way. And now it seems as if though some of them, they're okay with the law being applied that way. Shame on you. You're cowards. You are cowards because you're creating more problems, future problems. You look at the children that were born today, all the children that were born in the past two decades, this whole thing with racism, even three decades, the 90s and the 80s, all this thing with racism. I mean, these kids are so far from that and they get along so well, but it is the adults that constantly feed this nonsense to them that society is bad. Again, I am not saying that racism does not exist. I'm not saying that people have not encountered it some shape, form, or fashion in their lives, but you cannot hold that whole thing, make that the sum of who you are. But unfortunately, that's what the left wants to do. They want to get rid of all white men. They don't want them to work. They don't want them in corporate America. They only want the white women, Black women, Black men. Again, Joe Biden, I said this in the show the other night. He says nothing about Black men. The Black men who are the head of the household in the Black family. Black men who before the 60s were in all the Black households. And Andrew, I read something the other day, and hard as it is to believe, but even during slavery, a lot of the slaves had Black men as the head of the house. They were there. You would say, well, how can that be? Because the masters were constantly selling them. Yeah, they were, but you had a Black man at the head of the house. I find that really hard to, you know, wrap my head around. But once the 60s and the 70s came in, slowly the Black men left the house in the 80s. Why? Well, because of the liberal policies I would encourage you all to go look at the movie Claudine with James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll. Have you ever seen that movie, Andrew?
I haven't.
Have you heard of it, Claudine?
No, I haven't.
You should look at it. It's a really interesting movie. It came out, I think, during the 70s, and I stumbled across it a couple of weeks ago. I remember hearing about it when I was a kid. And it's a tell-all movie as to the sign of the times. And when you think about where we are now and compared to that movie, I would encourage you all to go and look at the movie Claudine with James Earl Jones, who's a brilliant actor. I love his voice. He's actually the voice of CNN. The actress, Diane Carroll, the Black actress who's dead now. But it is a good movie, and I would encourage you all to go and see it. But that being said, it's just the things that I'm putting out there, they're on my mind. And when I see what's happening in society, a great society, we're trying to form a more perfect union, and how we're so hard on ourselves, and how people are using the flaws of our country and exacerbating them and making it seem as though that we'll never get beyond it. And we will, and we can, if they would allow it. And if they were to stop with the false rhetoric and the division and the hate. You look at any program on TV and it centered around racism. The new show, have you heard of the new show, Andrew, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that's coming out? I don't know if it's on Netflix.
It's on Peacock Network, and I've seen trailers for it, and I've seen a little bit about it. I've seen Will Smith on one of the morning shows talking about it, but I have not checked it out yet.
The Peacock Network. There are so many streaming networks out there. I get confused. I'm not even paying for it. I'm like, nah. I even have Netflix, and I hardly ever watch it. I'm not into the series, and everything is so political. Everything is about racism. And I'm like, wait a minute, our life is not consumed of that. So I say that to go back to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I was reading some articles up on it. One of the things that they're going to try to cover, they said that they're going to try to make it relevant, and they're going to have issues with racism, division between people, between Black and white people. I'm like, okay, I'm not watching it. I don't have time for that.
It looked kind of interesting in the sense that The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a good story at the time, and they've decided to turn it around from a comedy show into a serious drama, which is what it looks like it is now. It'll be interesting to see how it turns out. But like you said, it's probably just going to be so much social justice and messages like that that are just going to be a total turnoff for me. So I don't know. I might give it a shot, but then again, I might not. Who knows? But I do have a Peacock because that's what WrestleMania is on. So you know me. I've got that.
But it's a pay. You have to pay to have Peacock, right?
Yes. It's $4.99 a month if you want it with the ads. And then without ads, it's like $10 a month. But it's another one. It seems like every single channel has a streaming network now. Even CNN has streaming now, apparently.
Okay. So. And then you're able to watch these different programs. Now, I had thought about getting the streaming network for AMC because there's a show that used to come on there called Witches or something. Which I can't think of the name of it, but it was a really well done show. And I like those types of shows. And excuse me, I had thought about getting it just so that I could see the programming. But man, when you start thinking about it, all those little streaming things, they start to add up. $4 here, $4 there. But you don't have to worry about having regular TV, the nonsense.
Next thing you know, it's more than your cable bill, all these streaming outlets. Yeah.
Now, when you have the streaming, do you still have to have cable?
You just need the internet.
To have the internet. Okay.
Yeah, you have to have the internet. And a lot of the smart TVs, you could play it directly through a TV or a Fire Stick or a Roku box, something like that. I think is what most people are using nowadays.
Now, I just thought of something when you said Fire Stick. I have a flat screen TV that it's not a smart TV, but I think if I use my Fire Stick on my UBS port, I should be able to watch Netflix on it. I never thought about that. Wow. Gosh. See that conversation? And this is all relevant, folks, what we're talking about. And so you got to get that, all those little things, it matters. But as I was saying, going into just talking about the division that's in the country today and that we have got to somehow eradicate, we've got to get rid of it. And we should be able to have conversations that the side conversation that Andrew and I just had, you know, things that matter, as opposed to having to sit down and watch a show about racism. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired of that. I want something that's going to be, I want drama. I want intense drama. I don't want all the racist stuff. I just get exactly. rid of that mess. You know, it's not, we don't need it. There is a show that's getting ready to come on with Debbie Allen, and it's on slavery. And I like watching those shows to understand the genesis and what happened and whatnot. But the show that she's getting ready to put on, I'm not going to watch it because I know that it's going to be one-sided. They're going to try to what they're trying to do now is that they're trying to drill home a division that white people mistreated black people all these years. And this is the reason why we're like that. But Andrew, little do people know is that all over the world, there was slavery. All over. There was slavery. Oh, there's still slavery going on right now. Look at China. Right. And no one said anything about China.
And people are still buying those Nikes.
Still buying the Nikes. And in Africa, there's still slavery that's going on. We get it. Slavery was brutal. It shouldn't have happened, but that was hundreds of years ago. And it is unfortunate that when the United States tried to move beyond it, that the Democrats in the South tried to set up Jim Crow laws and all these other laws to keep blacks from progressing. And blacks have just bought into it. And now that it's all over, it's a slave mentality. You have to free your mind and to realize I can do whatever I want to do here. Yes, there are limitations, but when those limitations come my way, and if they're putting the limitation there because of my color, I am going to steamroll them. I am going to knock them down. But at the same time, if I am incompetent, if I am not adequate in doing my job, hey, so be it. I've got to be called out. It's plain and simple. But it's the Democrats who have created all of this division. As they're doing right now, let's just be honest, they're doing it right now in our schools, is separating kids, that it will come back later on and bite us on the butt. We've got to wake up. We have to. We cannot allow this to continue the way it is. If we want to be a better society, if we want to move forward, if we want to get beyond all this crazy rhetoric, we have got to move forward.
Yeah, well said, Rob. Great show tonight. Great discussion. Thank you all for joining us once again tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who recently celebrated its 6th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something, or you will fall for nothing.